Hey, nonprofits, let's raise more money. For this episode, Jason and Trevor join with special guest Lance from the Cure Brain Cancer Foundation. Lance discusses why he started a nonprofit, how he runs it from a process standpoint, and how they emphasize focus on getting things done in a timely manner. Let's get right into it.
Talk to us a little bit. I want the audience to hear about the foundation, man. Tell us about Cure Brain Cancer and tell us about the work you're doing and just give us some background on how you got into it and all that.
Sure. So just by way of background, I've been an investment banker, a banker for 26 years. Uh-huh. And in 2016, when I was in London, I got a phone call on the 26th of May of 2016. And my mother was unfortunately diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. In that time, I went back and forth from London. As you know, it's 20 plus hours. Mm-hmm. You got to stop in San Fran. You got to fly. So I went back four times in the 5 months that she was able to survive. And I had a lot of great moments with her. On her last week and her last day, she asked me to do three things. Because she was a school teacher for 42 years, educator in Hawaii. She asked me, number one, please take care of your dad because I'm an only child. So she always said, she always thought that she would go after my dad. So I said, no problem. I'll take care of dad. I got him. Second, she said, try to have better work-life balance. You know, you've lived all through the world. I lived in the Middle East, Asia. And interesting enough, being an American citizen, I was actually working in Baghdad, Iraq in 2010, 2011 as the country head for Standard Chartered. So I used to go from Baghdad, Erbil, Sulaymaniyah. She said, second thing is I'd like you to do is give back. Make sure you have work-life balance. Spend time with your boys. And then the third thing she said is I'd like you to give back several years, probably 5 years, sometime in your career to something bigger than yourself. So social impact, non-for-profit. So from that point, I really focused on what was I going to do. And in 2020, during COVID, I thought this was the best time to really try to make that switch, especially with the lockdowns and what was going on in the world. And I decided on the 1st of January, 2021, to start with Cure Brain Cancer Foundation. They had a lot of turnover with the CEO. They were really good, but they had some challenges. And that's what really was the impetus of why I decided to take on the challenge.
You know, I'm real interested about that because I came out, you know, I have been raising money for nonprofits for about 30 years, but I came from private sector. You know, we're a for-profit company. Trevor is, I am entrepreneurs. And, you know, I was in the telecom industry for a long time. I had several telephone companies and things like that. And it's real interesting whenever you come into the nonprofit world, especially with people that are in professionals, nonprofits, and that's who we spend most of our time working with, but they don't have that. And when I say real world experience, I don't think that's fair because it is real world experience, but it's different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you know, we think about things like, you know, when you've been around the world and you're in business and you're doing stuff, you just think about problems in a different way. They just really address things in a different way. And I think that's something that I hope. You know, we see a lot of people in boards and service like that, but we also see a trend of more professionals coming out of private industry, going into these nonprofits and, you know, kind of righting the ships in some way because they've got that experience. You know, you've obviously got that experience of doing that problem solving in a different way. And so I think that's a really the real benefit for you coming out, having this happen and for this organization, obviously, because it sounds like, you know, they had some things going on that they were struggling and, you know, you kind of come out of the world and you're like, okay, we're going to just think about things in a different way. So talk to us about that, about what you saw and maybe the transition that you see in the for-profit side, the nonprofit side and how that works.
Mm-hmm. Well, number one, exactly to your point, Jason, I thought being on the corporate side, non-for-profit, it's all kumbaya, everyone's high-fiving, giving everyone hugs. Could not be further from the truth.
Yeah.
It's very competitive. Yeah. It's very slow-moving. Yeah. It's very bureaucratic. So what I tried to do when I first started, I tried to do a kind of an assessment of the skills. We went from 35 employees down to 8. And in the past 18 months, we've distributed $11.5 million, which is more than the past 10 years combined. Because what I tried to do was really break it up into different tranches.
Mm-hmm.
First tranche was I wanted to understand how do we make decisions. And previously, it was very opaque. So what I wanted to do is make sure we have a very formalized process I got the best minds in the world. I got the head of brain cancer for Harvard, Dana-Farber, Patrick Nguyen. I had Al Young, who was one of the physicians for Joe Biden's son, Bo, at MD Anderson. I got all these world-renowned experts, and I explained to them that I will fund the research, but you select it. I'm out of the process. It's 100% based off merit. Whoever deserves it gets it. So that was the first piece. Mm-hmm. Second thing is I spent time with the community, and for the first 2-3 months, they said, you're not going to be around, right? No one lasts more than 5 months. But I just want to show them that, you know, it's really about not what I say, it's about what we do. Mm-hmm. And the best thing that I try to do is just focus on what does the community say is important. That's really the roadmap. I don't really give a, I don't really care about anything else. I'm very focused on singleness of purpose. And what we tried to do was focus on treatments. So we quickly got GBM Agile, where, which is an $8 million global trial here in Australia. We launched the world's largest brain cancer accelerator for phase two, which is $2 million, which we had a proof of concept. And also one thing that I wanted to do was also raise awareness, because I find that charities, they don't really collaborate. It's like the Yankees and the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. If you do something, if you're with one, it's all. So what I tried to do was show them that we can win together. We can all lift each other up. So, for example, last December, on the 2nd of December, I was lucky enough to be the first brain cancer charity CEO to ring the opening bell at NASDAQ Marketplace in New York Times Square. And instead of me just going on my own, I brought 50 other brain cancer charities. I invited them. I said, you can come with me. You can post it. So, you know, again, lifting everyone up. And then this year, I decided to do the first ever South Pole trek in Antarctica. First time a CEO for a cancer charity will trek by themselves. And that's I'm going to be doing that in December. And I got the idea. Just for your listeners, a little context, I haven't worked out in 30 years. I'm 47 years old. I have the musculature of a 3-year-old toddler. I don't really, I don't like to work out at all. But over the past 2 months, I switched it. I work out 4 days a week with weights, 3 days a week with a weight vest going around in a circle nonstop. I've increased my caloric intake with a nutritionist from 1,800 to 9,000 calories. And also I go and do camping training, and it's going to be absolutely hilarious to see me trek 10 hours a day over Christmas. Over Christmas this year. How many other CEOs put their money? They're always delegating stuff. But the cool thing, Trevor and Jason, is that I'm not doing it just for my charity. Right. I'm doing it for 10 other cancer charities globally, and I'm letting them have a free carry. There's no expense to them.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
I just made sure to pick. I made sure to pick charities that have a woman as a CEO or chairperson. They have a very big focus on keeping their expenses low and focusing on distributing majority of the funds to research. Mm-hmm. And also that their decision-making process is like weeks versus like years. So that's it. And so far, you know, it's a lot of people were like, what's the catch? What's the catch? But that's, I think we need to change that mentality that if we all go together in the same direction for cancer, it's better than all of us going in multiple directions. But I don't understand about 100%. All this stuff.
Well, you know, Lance, we 100%. Really work and share with the nonprofits because we work with them on a literally on a daily basis, you know, providing free coaching, free these free services to do that. And one of the things that we hear is a lot of this, like you said, this competition. And we're like, the better everybody does, all rises all boats, you know, rising tide, all ships rise. And that's what we want to do. And one of the things that we see, and so tell me how you're seeing that mind shift with the people that you're working with to understand that the reciprocal part of that, because, you know, you come from the outside, kind of the outside world. A lot of times, like you said, they think there's this finite amount of money. Well, you're an investment banker, so you know that's not true, because all you got to do is go to the U.S., they just print more. So it doesn't matter. We got plenty of money. That's kind of, a joke, but the point is, it's not a joke because there is more money. There's always more money available when we engage with people. And I think, you know, that's one of the things we see is they're like, well, you know, I don't want to ask that person because of this, or they have this preconceived notion that people that have the capacity to give, and we'll just say significant givers, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. they start making decisions for somebody that they don't have any idea, any concept. So tell us how you
I think there's a culture of that.
Yeah.
I think there's a culture of that.
You're an investment banker, so you've got some things. So what could you share, you know, that, to tell other people that are listening, other nonprofit, other executives in the nonprofit world to think when they're looking at other people's money, how that gives some context.
Yeah. So number one, that's a great point, Jay. So I always thought that if you focus on the community, you can never go wrong. So if I'm a donor, I need to first be aware, right? Because if you're not aware, you're not going to care. And if you don't care, you're not going to give. So I always try to make sure that all of our stories are stories. We talk about people we're helping. We're talking about a very clear narrative and we're consistent, right? So to your point, I ask everyone. Awesome. I ask my Uber driver. I ask the guy at the grocery store, hey, do you know about this cancer? Do you know about this? Can you give money? I really don't care who I ask, because if they say no, my philosophy, I'm getting closer to that yes. I just haven't shown them the value proposition. Mm-hmm. And I find people in non-for-profit, they're so adverse to asking for money, and they think it's like a bad word. It's like, oh no, but it's the lifeblood of how else are you going to do your mission?
Brother, I think it's cultural. I think that fear is cultural.
It is.
We did a study and this is kind of a general deal that 90% of boards have if you give them a call reluctance test, 90% are scared to death. Well, if you've only got a board of 8 people, that means you don't have one. Everybody's scared. And that follows through that whole thing. And so if you were talking to a somebody that's in that maybe they're new in the nonprofit executive, maybe they've been doing it for 20 years, doesn't matter. What are some things that you do to get past that? Obviously you've been in this, you've been outside in the real world, the for-profit where, it's dog eat dog kind of thing, but it's the same thing. Like you're saying, it's no different, right?
Nope. Yeah. So for me on that point, Jason and Trevor, what I do is I'm also the chairperson for 8 other charities and, just for free that I do it just to give guidance for smaller charities. What I try to always ask as a CEO, I always try to make sure the team is focused on what's for the community. And I communicate to the board that this is what we need to do. But when I'm on the board, my philosophy is that my responsibility as a chair or being on the board is to really facilitate and empower the CEO and the management team to execute quickly. Not to be afraid of your shadow.
Okay, hold on. Time out. I want to stop and have you say that again, because if you're listening to this right now and you're an executive or board member, or you're an executive director, share this with the board, your board, because this is something really, really important, what you just said, Lance. Please say that one more time.
So what I feel that the board is responsible for is to empower and support the CEO and the team, the management team and the team in general, to achieve their goals. And I find there's oftentimes an adversarial relationship. And also, for example, board meetings. When I go to a board meeting, I always make sure I review the documents ahead of time. I come to the board meeting, it's not 5-hour board meetings. It should be 30 minutes with exceptions only. I find most times, I truly believe, Jason, that there's good intentions. But I think historically board, not for non-for-profit, they've been more kind of like badges. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I go to the country club, I'm on this one. I keep on explaining to everyone, if you're going to be on a board, you have a fiduciary responsibility, but you also have a social responsibility.
Yeah.
Don't be on a board just to be on a board. Do something.
God bless you, brother.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if you're not going to do it, get off. Right? And
The staff does not work for you if you're on the board.
Exactly. Like micromanaging. I try to empower. Like I try to stay out. I don't want to get into, because if you empower a team, let them do the job. Mm-hmm. Or else, I don't want to be the Jerry Jones, no offense to the Cowboy fans, right? I don't want to be a powerful owner, dilly-dallying into, and you haven't won
whose
a championship
team doesn't win.
In 30 years, right? So all the Cowboy fans, I know in Oklahoma too, please don't tweet me or anything. I love the Cowboys. I love all teams.
We love all teams. We love all folks that are making an impact. We love all organizations that are making an impact. We're empowering them.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. If you love our podcast, click the download button, rate us, and follow us on social media at HGA Fundraising. Get out there, start fundraising, and raise more money. See you next time.